Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no sugar coating of Christianity, not if it's true Christianity. Jesus certainly didn't sugarcoat it in the gospel that you heard today. He didn't make being his disciple sound like a walk on the beach. On the contrary, he spoke to his disciples, his apostles in the gospel, the bitter truth of what it would mean to live in this world after he would ascend into heaven, after his death and resurrection. It would be hard. He knew how hard it would be for his apostles and for you and me after them. He knew every obstacle they would face, and that you would face, both physical and spiritual. Every tool the devil would use to try to wrest you away from the faith in Christ. Every scheme of the world to try to turn you back to itself and bring you as Christians back out of the kingdom of Christ into the kingdom, the realm of Satan. Jesus knew that just as the world hated him, so it would hate all those who followed him, who bore his name in the world. He knew that just as he was about to bear a cross, for he spoke these words on the night in which he was betrayed, just as he was about to bear a cross for the sins of the world, so also his disciples would bear their own cross for their confession of Christ. But he also knew exactly what his church would need in order to survive. He knew exactly how to help his apostles and those who would follow after them, so that we can remain steadfast in the faith and steadfast in the confession of faith, even as we are made to suffer under the blessed cross. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. True faith in the heart requires the testimony of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, who proceeds from the Father and is sent by Jesus, both to create faith and to sustain it. That sustaining of faith we talked about in Bible class today is just as important as the creation of faith in our hearts, because as Luther rightly says, faith is in vain where it does not continue steadfast to the end. But the apostles were too weak to keep believing in Jesus after he would be taken up again into heaven. You and I are even worse off. We've never seen Jesus. We've never heard Jesus preach. We were born hostile to God, as all men are by nature, with no true fear of God, no true love for God, no true faith in God. And that sinful nature, that sinful flesh, still clings to us at all times, turning our minds and hearts away from God and turned onto ourselves in this earthly life, making up gods for ourselves, making up our own standards of right and wrong, making up our own visions of who God is and what God demands, and then imagining that we're keeping it. Because, well, we've made it up, and we can keep the things that we make up. We cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, or come to Him, nor can we remain in Him by our own strength. Jesus knew that. So He promised to send the Helper, the Spirit of truth, who keeps holding the truth before our eyes. And that truth is summarized in the person of Jesus. He will testify of me, Jesus says. You are not God. Jesus is God. That's the testimony of the Holy Spirit. You are not righteous. Jesus is righteous. Your sins have earned for you a place in hell. But Jesus' sinless sacrifice on the cross has earned you a place in heaven. You deserve death. But Jesus suffered death for you and rose from the dead and gives you eternal life as a gift. The Holy Spirit's work is just that, to hold Jesus before your eyes. And it's essential. If anyone is to be converted to faith in Christ and remain steadfast in the faith to the end. And you who have heard the word of Christ and believe it do have the same Spirit of God and His testimony dwelling within you. St. Paul writes to the Romans, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." But don't imagine that the Holy Spirit does this work of bearing witness or testifying directly on anyone's heart with some inner testimony that is divorced from the preached word of God. He works through preaching and through the administration of the sacraments, through holy baptism, through the holy sacrament of communion. You don't come to church or to Bible class just to be reminded of things you already learned a long time ago, but maybe forgot, or maybe didn't forget, so you didn't think you needed to come because you still remembered those things and you won't learn anything new today. That's not why Christians come to church or to Bible class. It's to have the Spirit of God testifying to you through the preached word and through the sacraments. And He works powerfully through preaching to create and to sustain faith in your heart. Jesus said to His apostles, "And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." See, it's not as if the Spirit does His testifying over here in your heart, and then, separately from that, the apostles do their bearing witness over here so that you can choose one or the other. Well, I'm fine with just hearing the Spirit's testimony. I don't need the testimony of the apostles. That's one of the major errors that takes place all around us in churches, as if you can get in touch directly with God's Holy Spirit so that He testifies directly to you without all that doctrine stuff, without all that preaching stuff. The apostles who were with Jesus from the beginning received the testimony of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which we'll celebrate next Sunday. And you who have heard the testimony of the apostles through the word that has been preached to you from those who have been called ministers after the apostles, that word has given the Holy Spirit to you so that when you were baptized and believed in Christ, you were given the Holy Spirit too, yet still not apart from the preaching, not apart from holy baptism, but through it. But Jesus' words here about bearing witness, although they applied directly to the apostles who were with Him from the beginning, something that you and I have not been, they do still have application to all Christians. Paul writes to the Romans, again, "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It's not enough to believe in your heart. You must also confess with your mouth. Or to put it another way, maybe a more clear way, true faith in the heart cannot exist together with silence about Christ. True faith in the heart cannot help but to confess Him before men. Well, that doesn't mean everyone preaches, and it certainly doesn't mean that anyone stands up in church and gives their testimonial about Jesus. What it means is that in your vocations, which God has given you, you Christians bear witness about Christ with your mouths. So today on Mother's Day, especially, we give thanks that godly mothers fulfill their vocation by speaking about Christ to their children, not preaching to them in church, but speaking about Christ to their children, just as godly fathers do. Children with their friends and classmates do the same thing. Workers with their co-workers, neighbors with their neighbors, as God gives opportunity. The confession of faith is everything we believe about God as revealed in Holy Scripture, from the six-day creation to God's institution of holy matrimony as God has defined it in His Word, to the doctrine of the real presence of Christ's body and blood in the Holy Sacrament. But the confession of the Christian faith doesn't have to include all of that at once. It's not as if you have to give the whole Christian faith to your neighbor or the whole Christian faith even to your children at one sitting. The confession of Christ can be as simple as confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. Not just, well, I think Jesus is the Son of God, or I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Maybe you believe something different. No, it's speaking the truth, what you know to be true. Jesus is the Son of God, and anything else but that is false. It can be just as simple as Jesus died for our sins and rose again. That we are saved by faith alone, in Christ alone. You can't ignore any part of that confession of Christ. You can't silence part of it because you think that part of it won't be appealing to someone. But as we just said, you don't have to speak every single truth that's revealed in the Bible every time you talk to someone. Some people do try to silence parts of the truth of Christ and just say, well, Jesus died for me. That's all that you need to know. That's all that I care about. That's not confessing the Christian faith. But confessing the Christian faith, even in its simplest form, that we're saved by faith alone in Christ alone, you'd think that would be a welcome message to the world. You'd think that would be even a pleasant message to all men. The reality is, the confession of Christ stirs up the hatred of the devil and of men, and will turn those who confess it into targets. That's what Jesus says to His disciples ahead of time. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. The truth is, the confession of the Christian faith is intolerant. It does not tolerate any other truth to stand side by side with it as another viable option. It does not tolerate any other confession but that of the one holy Christian or Catholic and Apostolic Church. That means that in a world that values tolerance above all things, the Christian faith has to be the most hateful thing that exists. It doesn't allow men the luxury of worshiping their own gods. It condemns as sinful everything that doesn't flow from faith in the one true God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that we force our confession of faith on anyone or use force of any kind to make people believe. or to make people obey the will of God. The confession of the Christian faith is entirely a matter of words, preaching. But Jesus teaches us to expect to be hated, persecuted, and even killed for our words. And history has not proven him wrong. That includes being hated and persecuted by atheists, but as Jesus says, it also includes being hated and persecuted by those who think they are serving God in the process, whether by the synagogues of the first century or by the so-called Christian churches of the 16th or of the 21st centuries. We live in the times of the great apostasy, the great falling away of Christians, so that even the majority of Christians have fallen away in their hearts from the faith and confession of Christ, even if they retain the name Christian, so that those who claim to be believers in Christ may be the very ones who condemn and persecute the steadfast confessors of the faith with the most vitriol. The heaviest cross may be imposed by those who are supposed to be on our side. But see, this shouldn't surprise us. Jesus told us so ahead of time. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. Jesus has not tricked us into believing in him or confessing his name before men. He has been completely honest with us about how hard it will be. But that means he also knew about what we would need ahead of time. And he knew ahead of time how to help us and how to rescue us from this wicked world. That brings us right back to the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whose coming we will celebrate especially next Sunday. He will help us to keep believing, to keep confessing, and to bear up under the blessed cross that is ours for our confession of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is God, of course. And if God is for us, if God is our helper, who can be against us? Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.